Nobody cares about your oh-so-cool, kick-started, tactile, minimalist, unoriginal magazine. Well, that was just some of the harsh advice dished out to aspiring publishers in issue number 10 of Gym Class, the slightly meta magazine about magazines and the people who publish them. Well, it's true that everyone needs a bit of tough love from time to time. We'll talk to a magazine maker who knows that all too well today on The Stack. On today's show about magazines, we're talking magazines with the editor of a magazine about magazines.
All these new titles on the indie side starting is super exciting, and I haven't spoken to one single indie magazine maker who isn't excited about new magazines arriving.
Plus, we'll hear from the Belgian publication dedicated to keeping the country's spirits up after recent challenging times.
A lot of people would ask me, oh, Belgium is a country? Yeah, it actually is.
That's all ahead today on The Stack. 30 minutes of print industry analysis here on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Stack with me, Tom Edwards. They make movies about movies. They write books about books. So why not a magazine about magazines? On, for good measure, a radio show about magazines, no less. Gym Class is a biannual publication that sees the world as one giant newsstand, a bit like we do here at The Stack. Casting a careful eye over paper treasures far and wide, it assembles the best of the bunch into one neat package. And Stephen Greger is the magazine's editor, and he joins me here in Studio One. Welcome to The Stack, Stephen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us. I've got a couple of the recent editions of Gym Class here in front of me. How's it going?
Yeah, really good, mate. We are working on the next issue now. It will be on newsstands the 23rd of September, so we're right in the thick of it, getting it all done.
I always like to talk to editors and general production staff during these processes. How does the pace of it treat you? Because, you know, here at Monocle we have our 10 issues and then our special editions and all this, so it's kind of always production week for something. If you're running something like a Gym Class, which is twice a year, does it agree with you, the metabolism, or do you sometimes hunger for, I don't know, does anyone hunger for more deadlines?
Well, Gym Class for me is put together in my spare time, so I'm usually working the day job, and normally when an issue comes out, I'm so enthused about kicking on with the next one that I get straight into it. With the issue that we're working on now, I took a deliberate, almost 3-month break where, of course, I was still looking at magazines and listening to The Stack and buying magazines and what have you, but I didn't make any decisions as to what the content would be.
Okay.
And now that we're working on the next issue now, it feels much fresher and it feels much more relevant and more exciting and, so taking that bit of a break was...
A masterstroke, perhaps.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Well, yeah, exactly. The proof of the pudding will be in the eating. Tell me a little bit about the current environment, because it's interesting. I mean, I don't want to sort of talk about Brexit again, which has sort of raised its ugly head each week on the programme over the last couple of weeks, understandably, I suppose. But how's the general marketplace? Obviously, you're very connected then to, I guess, well, all of magazine world, not just the independent sector and so forth. How are things looking? What's the big picture? Pretty robust. I mean, there's so many great titles that come in. We'll come onto the stack of magazines that you've brought with you in a minute. Are you still feeling the love? Are you still feeling confident about where we are in magazine land at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. And Gym Class is as interested in the biggest, glossiest mainstream magazine as it is the smallest, most niche indie titles. So, and, you know, all these new titles on the indie side starting is super exciting. And I haven't spoken to one single indie magazine maker who isn't excited about new magazines arriving. What it does mean, of course, though, that the newsstand for indie titles is busier than it's ever been, and it's more competitive than it's ever been. So magazines, some of the early trailblazers and their followers, which... maybe, you know, the early trailblazers set some rules and then there were followers who adopted those rules, maybe tweaked them a little bit. Is that all still relevant? And does that still work when the indie newsstand is as busy and
such
competitive
a busy
as
marketplace.
It is. Yeah.
And tell me a bit more about the Gymcast approach, because I think it was in the, was it in this autumn winter edition when you mentioned in your sort of editor's letter exactly about
autumn winter,
of course, yeah. About the impact that particular covers make. And obviously, it's particularly interesting in Gymcast. But I mean, fans of the magazine will know it. It looks and feels so different in its different kind of iterations. That's presumably, again, quite an exciting place to be operating in, where you're not necessarily trammelled by, you know, a very predictable, you know, design guideline or a particular grid. Is it liberating, or is it one of those things where, in fact, sometimes being a bit constrained is almost makes it a bit easier? I don't know. How's it working?
Yeah,
out?
You know, it's a blessing and a curse. And I guess going back to what I was saying about an issue would come out and I'd be super excited to start work on the next one. And when I do that, and it's only every 6 months, there's plenty of time for me to tinker and change my mind mess it up and then fix it again and then mess it up again and fix it up again. So it's fantastic to have that, to give myself that freedom where the rules can be changed. That said, the masthead, the logo, has stayed the same the last couple of issues, and it will be the same again, because I feel like, saying that, you know, the newsstand is so busy that there needs to be that identifiable.
I think that's
brand.
Nice when it means something as well. Once the magazine has that maturity, people kind of know what they know what it's about.
Plus, you know, the title's a little bit odd. I mean, you wouldn't read Gymcast and automatically think it's a magazine about magazines. So I guess having that logo,
there's no
consistent.
Sport and fitness in here at all. What's going on? And just tell me a little bit more. Certainly, so again, leafing through, this is the spring summer 2016 edition with, of course, the face, the Eminem cover, and we know the background to that one with his pink singlet and all of the controversies.
Yes.
And again, there's great features here. We're looking at everything from old favorites to newspapers and the illustrations in newspapers, and you know, such a blend. How do you, I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, you've got the time to pick and choose things. What's the curatorial process, if you like, that goes into it? Because, as you mentioned, the ambit is so wide. I don't know. I don't even know where I'd start.
Yeah.
How do you and your pals kind of get started on each issue?
It's gut feeling, and it's, you know, there's no formula to it. It's just what is sparking our interest right now. And for the first time, I actually feel like I can legitimately say because normally I've been doing it by myself.
Yeah.
But for the first time, as of the next issue, there's a designer looking after the designs, which frees me up to concentrate only on the content, well, mostly on the content, which is fantastic. But with Gymcast is a celebration of magazines first and foremost, but it's not just a portfolio of, oh, look, here's a lot of beautiful, inspiring work for you to look at. It's also asking, hopefully, it's also asking bigger questions about are we moving in the right direction?
Yeah. And I think one of the things that, again, will strike regular readers and fans of Gymcast is the idea of this kind of, There's a levity, there's a lightness of touch to it. There's clearly, you know, a tongue-in-cheek delivery. There's a lot of fun, even with the kind of standard features, if you like, you know, whether it's the editor's letter or, you know, it's always quite playful. How important is it that, you know, you're communicating that to your readers, that this isn't some kind of po-faced annual of record, you know?
Yeah.
It's something to be consumed with a smile, and it's supposed to be, you know, it's fun, it's engaging.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's actually quite easy to continue to communicate
that
to readers?
The tone of voice of Gymcast is at the heart of it. And if that tone of voice was lost, it would be a completely different magazine. And, you know, basically with Gymcast, I just want to make a magazine that I would like to read. And I would be the first in line to laugh at myself. So, you know, that tongue-in-cheek tone of voice is crucial. That said, you know, as Gymcast matures, there is this need to, you know, take a look at things with a serious
and
eye,
and cast a critical eye. But I think that's right. And once you've got your readers on side, in a way, it's easier to say, well, hang on, let's look at this in a bit more detail, isn't it?
Hopefully, yeah.
Stephen, always great to speak with you. That's what Gymcast is up to at the moment. But you have a prodigious stack of magazines.
Well, just three titles, but, you know, more than one.
A few options, exactly. Yeah. Plenty of sifting.
Yes.
So we'll dive into that as well in just a few moments here on The Stack. How how does a country keep its spirits up after suffering the effects of terror? Since the violence that unfolded during the March attacks in Brussels, Belgium has faced some incredibly tough times, with some critics going as far as labelling it a failed state. For many proud Belgians, however, the dramatic verdict was at odds with the light-hearted relationship that they felt with their homeland. Young local magazine 2401 dedicates itself to presenting that very image of Belgium. Fun, free, alive, and most definitely still kicking. Monocle contributor Alexandra Stenbock-Fermor visited the magazine's headquarters to find out more.
Well, you know, Belgium is kind of in. Like, right now, maybe a little bit less, but I think there's a fun aspect in Belgian culture that people tend to like, and they recognize themselves in it. And we do as well. And so, yeah, I think we wanted to show that Belgium has things to offer and quality information, and keeping, yeah, that light-headed tone sometimes. And yeah, that makes us who we are in a way.
Frédéric Delvin here is copy editor of 2401. He doesn't agree with Belgium's image as a failed state.
I think about the failed state, I think that's just, you know, it's easy bashing.
We are a nation. Well, actually, we're not even a nation for that matter. Our identity is very, very fragmented. We're a small country that endured many invasions in its history. Because of this, we were never a true nation state with a culture and an international influence. This also means we're quite fond of self-derision, of laughing at ourselves, of surrealism. We have a certain lightness towards serious things in life or in society, which is probably linked to this love of consensus that exists in Belgium. On top of this, you have this mix of identities and cultures between, very roughly, Flanders' Germanic culture and Wallonia's Latin culture. In the end, this means our Belgian identity isn't well defined, which probably explains why we don't get on our high horses when we need to defend the image of Belgium, because this image is actually quite blurred.
That was Quentin Jardon, editor-in-chief of 2401. Literally meaning 24 hours and 1 minute, the magazine is 200 pages, looks like a book, is full of images and cartoons, and is published twice a year. When it was created 3 years ago, it aimed to fill an absence of good, long-format, francophone magazines in Belgium.
I think more or less the idea is to give sides of different realities. So things that, yeah, were you wouldn't expect from a traditional media. And so maybe stories that can seem a bit random at first, but when you get into it, there's a really added value of information and, you know, a bit of crazy stories, and that's what we do. And the idea is really that you can open this and get surprised and learn things that you had actually no idea existed. Every newspaper, every magazine you'll open in Belgium, maybe that's, you know, a bit exaggerating, but is more or less going to treat the same information the same way. And that's what we wanted to get away from. And, you know, you're going to open in Belgium an article from Le Soir and an article from La Libre. 50 years ago, there was a big difference in the treatment in the editorial aspect of those newspapers. Today, they're more or less the same. They don't have any more really marked political opinions.
Do you think that 2401 is now contributing to the renewal of a certain Belgian creativity? Because it seems like it wants to do that with its mission.
I hope so. I hope that it is. Now, I think it's such a young project that maybe it's a bit early to do that. But truly, yeah, I think there's, at least in media, there are a lot of young projects that are born in Belgium, and so, well, of course we are, but you have Médor as well, Presse for More, which are these new small websites and magazines who are giving birth to I wouldn't say a new type of journalism, because journalism never really evolves. It's the base is always the same, but a new type of putting it together. Like, I don't know if I'm really clear, but as a graphic point of view or a treatment of the information, then it tends to evolve and to do different things. But now, if we're part of a renewal of the Belgian creativity, I don't know. I think Stromae is way better than us at that. But yeah, we're trying to do our part, and that when you could see it in the design of the magazine. So we really told our graphic designers, okay, guys, just have fun and do something you want to do that, you know, just breaks out of usual magazine codes.
We ended our conversation on the current state of Belgium's image and Belgian creativity.
Of course, like, you know, from a foreign country, like, someone's going to tell you, okay, let's go to Belgium. I think most people will say, yeah, but to do what? And it's true, like, we were talking about the U.S. earlier, when I used to live there, a lot of people would ask me, oh, Belgium is a country? Like, and you're like, yeah, yeah, it actually is. That's where chocolate comes from, or beer, you know, just to make things simple. But that's, I think, the problem is that, you know, from an international point of view, Belgium has a bad image or a non-existing one. And the fact that we're so small, that we have so few media, and that we rely so much on international media, maybe, okay, now that's just me making up a theory, but maybe the fact that we only see ourselves through international eyes doesn't give us, you know, that kind of self-esteem we might need or we already have but lost.
Without wanting to sound chauvinistic, I think we're managing pretty well, knowing that we're such a small population. In Francophone Belgium only, we are 4 million people. That's absolutely tiny. Given that, we do have artists of worldwide reputation. And yes, we can actually be proud of this. And we have a nice diversity. There are lots of things happening and lots of willingness. We have young generations of musicians, cartoon artists and writers who are creating beautiful things and who do have some success. But we always have those obstacles, the reality of the economic crisis, the small size of the market, the low purchasing power, etc. Yet despite this rather morose context, there are loads of beautiful things being done, and we can be very proud of that.
From Monocle in Brussels, I'm Alexandra Stelmok-Fermor.
Thank you, Alex, from Belgium there on The Stack. More now from Stephen Greger from Gym Class magazine, who's still with us, and he's brought in a selection of hand-picked treasures for us to leaf through on the programme. Stephen, I guess one thing that strikes me as interesting, when you're casting a critical eye, would you say you're a harsher judge than most because of, you know, what you do with Gym Class? You know, you're looking at things, you're scrutinising them as a magazine fan, but also as an aficionado, and maybe as a sort of curator of a magazine about magazines. Do you think you look at magazines differently than, say, your lay person who's glancing the newsstand?
Yeah, well, I try to keep an open mind, but I guess it's my area of interest. So I see things that many people won't see. You know, it's you could ask the same question of a filmmaker, say, who makes films. Do they then watch other blockbusters and the same way that you know, regular folk do, and I guess they don't. So I guess it's the same kind of thing. But I do try to keep an open mind. But I am definitely critical on things that other people, you know, general folk won't even
pick
clock
up on necessarily. Yeah. Well, let's jump into your stack of magazines then and see how that manifests itself to a degree. What would you like to start with? You've got there's plenty to choose from.
Yeah, well, I've brought in a few copies of Zeit magazine, which is one of my absolute favourite magazines. And I also have the luxury, when I look at Zeit, because I can't read German, I have the luxury of seeing if I can extract meaning from the way that the images and and the text is presented.
I always feel terrible when I can't read.
Yeah, I know. It's hard.
I just look at the pictures. It's like it takes me back to my childhood in a way.
Interesting. They do, of course, do the twice a year English international edition. This is a really weird thing to say, but I prefer the weekly edition, even though I can't read it, just because it, that's what it is day in, day out. So,
and obviously, again, I'm sure we've talked about Zeit fairly often on the programme, and our listeners who are familiar with it will know that they have this device with the sort of twin covers. Tell me a bit about that. I mean, I don't know how it speaks to you with some of these particular examples. It's an incredible device, I think.
Yeah, it's a great device, and sometimes it works better than others. I mean, there was an interview with the people who make Zeit in Gym Class 3 or 4 issues ago, and the art director mentioned that the best dual covers work best when the cover on page 3 is a punchline to the
Setup on, yes, on the
yeah,
front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, yeah. And, you know, sometimes that works very well and sometimes it's a little bit less successful. But as a device, I think it's fantastic. Mm. It's also a device which has, you know, it's been quite influential. It's inspired some others. I mean, the New York Times magazine did it when they, well, they had more than two covers, but they had like 5 or 6 covers at the start of the magazine when they relaunched recently. And, yeah, it's starting to pop up all over the place. And, in fact, here's a little exclusive, the next issue of Gym Class.
Here we go. I knew we'd work something out. Oh, there you go.
There'll inspired, perhaps cover, a little, yeah, a second tribute. Cover on page 3.
Oh, that's very exciting. And what about the kind of broader, I don't know, the sort of broader editorial thrust of Zeit? One thing that always strikes me about it is, you know, an absolute willingness to sort of push the boat out, whether it's the, you know, the kind of the imagery that they use. It's so arresting. Mm. And yet, and there's such variety, and yet you can always tell, oh yeah, this is a photo essay or this is, yes, a piece in, yes, in Zeit. I mean, how do they do that? I don't know.
I'm not
sure. I shouldn't be asking you, maybe. I should be asking them.
But. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, Zeit does this very well, and it's very cool and very modern and very young feeling, but at the same time feels very refined and very, when it needs to, very serious.
And sort of the masthead and stuff is quite austere, like a lot of that German print looks sort of almost old-fashioned but traditional, but they're so willing to push the boat out.
Well, what's interesting also quickly with Zeit is that it's, you know, printed on very cheap flimsy paper, and we hear so often about how if you want to publish a successful indie title, it has to be the exact opposite to that. So as a celebration of content, even if I can't read it, Zeit is.
There you go. It's all about exploding those myths and received wisdoms. That's what we're interested in. Where should we go next?
Well, speaking of inexpensive thin paper to something which is beautifully produced is Perdez magazine, which is a Spanish magazine, and it has the strap line, "Happiness is contagious." So, of course, that is something that immediately jumps out to me. The current issue, but there is a new issue coming out very, very, very soon. And in fact, it is this weekend's Stack Sampler.
Fantastic
magazine. So that's good timing. So if people like the sound of it, then they should head over to Stack and pick up the latest copy at a discount.
Well, and it's quite good. And as you said, the little sort of logo, it's a magazine about things that make people happy. And I opened this at random, this recent edition, to a sort of a photo essay by Lando Conperos. Forgive my terrible language. Dances with Dogs, luckily translated.
Yes.
And it is indeed a selection of people, many of them older people, dancing with dogs.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, Stephen, that makes me happy straight away.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Look at the face on that guy.
Oh, well.
It's lost on our radio listeners, but that's a smiling dog, in essence. And I guess, again, there's something... Is there a purity of message there? You know, there's a sort of an honesty about it. You can almost imagine the editorial team enthusing about these things. You can imagine the processes.
You can't read that magazine without having a smile on your face. Mm. And hopefully the makers, when they're making it, have a smile on their face too. It is a beautiful physical object as well.
Describe it a little bit, because it's sort of smaller format.
Yeah, it's got that that fancy open binding, which means that when you open it up, it lays completely flat. Mm. Which is lovely. The paper's beautiful. It's got the mix of paper stocks from matte, uncoated to coated as
and
well.
We've got nice
the shiny bit of bling on the cover.
Bit of foil embossing, which always draws me in.
Another magazine which I haven't brought today, but just very quickly, but has that open binding, which I love as well, is Article Magazine, which is a British magazine, a celebration of brand Britain, which maybe we should be doing a bit more of nowadays.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether we should be doing more of it or less of it.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it?
But it's tricky. It's good that it's out there. And, you know, a beautiful comic as well in here. What's the adventure?
Well, a comic is, you know, speaking of the multiple covers, a comic is another very strong trend in indie mags at the moment. And I'm happy to say there's a comic in the next issue.
Oh, look at this.
Well.
Exclusives left and right. This is great stuff. Time is short, Stephen. So let's wander on into the next one. You've got What have we got here? Well, five editions.
I'm going to give you a warning. If you want to open this randomly, you know, beware, okay, because you don't know what you're going to see. This is, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, Odisio.
I think that looks about right to me.
Which is a Spanish, a little bit nudie, a little bit rudy magazine from Barcelona.
Adult entertainment, leisurely stimulation, a publication you can read on a plane. Well, yeah. It says on one of the spines.
Yeah, I think that's false advertising. If you open that issue,
I think volume 5 might be more candid.
Well, maybe if you're in first class and you've got plenty of room around you, you'll be okay.
What about the truth? Shall I open this at random?
Open it up at random.
I don't know how risky are we going to be here.
This is A5-ish. It's a hardback magazine.
Okay, that's...
That's
it's an experimental photograph.
I'm here to open your mind, Tom, to a world of possibilities.
And tell us a bit about this, because it is interesting. We've spoken a couple of times actually on Stack about covering sex, erotica, and how it's sort of an interesting area. There's some very, very interesting, clever titles, but actually, it's not maybe been explored as much as you might think, given the so-called demise of the traditional erotic publication in paper, which is supposedly being killed off by the internet. Are you surprised that there are relatively few titles like this?
Well, it's definitely always going to be a niche. And I think the fact that this type of content, although maybe content not as of high quality as in this magazine, a lot of people can access online for free. There is obviously then a need for, if you're going to print it, for it to be extra special. And as a printed product, I mean, this is up there with production values with anything else.
Exactly. And we should say, again, it's very bookish. They're beautiful, contrasting spine colours. Mm. And then, just again, beautiful, beautifully photographed.
It's published
on lovely stock
by a studio called Fault Studio. Mm. And most of their sales are done online. And when it actually arrives in the post as well, the whole experience is beautiful. The envelope is high quality and printed. Yes. And it's a quality package.
And in terms of these are really, they're kind of book volumes. We talk often about the bookishness of magazines and why this inspires collectability and so forth.
You'll notice that I am missing a couple there. I do have them, but they're in storage.
Okay.
In fact, just by coincidence, there's a brand new issue of It also available for pre-order now on their website.
There you go. Because, we've got 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7.
Yeah, number
I find
one...
that slightly troubling that 6 isn't here.
What, 6?
I'm all out of sync now.
You now want to rush to the shop to see how special 6 is and why I didn't bring it along.
That's wonderful stuff. Stephen, thanks so much for bringing in.
Thank you.
Well, what a great selection.
Thank you.
We can trust you to be a connoisseur of fine magazines. That's very much the business you're in. And will you come back in September, was it, to tell us all about the new issue?
Mate, I would love to. If you'll have me, I'll come.
I think you get a free pass. You can come back again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stephen Greger from Gym Class, thanks for being with us on the Stack. That is all we have time for on this week's edition of The Stack. My thanks to our guest, Stephen Greger, our producers, Ben Ryland and Fernando Augusto Pacheco, and of course to our editor, Toby Hammond. Comments or queries are welcome. Drop us a note at info@monocle.com, and don't forget to join us at the very same time next week. In the meantime, listen again or find out more at monocle.com or hear the podcasts on your preferred platform. This is The Stack. I'm Tom Edwards. Thank you very much for listening.